prayer is something that we do at all times, empowered by the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication, right? There's a bunch of all going on here. Paul is saying we need to be driven to prayer and we need to be driven by prayer. You will really know you're in the battle when you pray. We have all these tendency to kind of want to do something. And somehow to us, prayer isn't doing something, right? It's kind of like that's what you do before and after you're doing the something. When we look at the world, we look at all the problems in the world, ultimately it's not about us figuring out a way to do something different, but it's about us praying more.
And so when we come to God, this thing that we're doing is we're coming to the Holy King of the universe and saying, I quit. I give up. You're in charge. Because there is nothing that shows submission to God more than when we climb on our knees and tell God, God, we need you.
I need you to change me. I need you to stir new affections in me so I'm not so attached to these silly things that are so trivial in light of who you are. Are you just throwing up some weird prayer words to him that you always pray? And God's like, why don't you start speaking your heart, because I'm looking right at it right now. I mean, are you okay with coming to God and saying, God, I don't like you right now. I don't love you, and that is wrong. Or did you just cringe when I said that? If we come to him cleaning ourselves up and say, look at me, what we've done is we've ignored the work of Christ. Because Jesus came, he died on this cross not just to get us to heaven someday. He died on that cross to give us a power now that we could die to our adulterous pursuits. That we could give up that harlotry and those spiritual affairs that we've been having. That's why he died. And he rose again so that someday we would be raised with him, but now new affections would be raised within us.
Because now the book of Hebrews says, because Jesus is there, because of his work, because of what he accomplished on the cross, because of now our faith in him, we're a group of people that now don't cower inside of that. We can boldly approach the throne.
Well, good morning. Welcome to Cornerstone this morning. How are we doing? Good? Amen. All right. Well, my name is Terry Earwood. I'm one of the pastors here on staff and one of the elders. And before we kind of dive in, let me just say, those of you who work with me throughout the week in the communities, my heart is so blessed and so full. Having the privilege to work with you guys on a week-to-week basis, being out there and hearing your stories, hearing the challenges that you face, and yet not giving up hope, but keeping your eyes fixed on the Lord and depending on the body to come alongside of you. And at night when Sheila and I lay down and go to sleep, our heart rejoices over the peace and the gladness that we have the privilege to serve with a group of people that God's called out in Simi Valley. And so thank you, and my heart is delighted to serve with you. And if you're new to Cornerstone this morning, I'm typically not the one up here. But we are going through a series in Ephesians, and we're ending today. And I am delighted to be up here today because we're ending our focus. What you saw in the video and what we've been going over the last 4 weeks is really developing a heart of prayer. And so I get to end the time with the privilege of having you leave here. My prayer is that you leave here motivated to pray, because I'm going to help you walk through a model of prayer, and that type of model is praying the Scriptures. And my prayer all week has been that as you begin to become comfortable with the Scriptures, as you begin to see the power of the Word of God, not only in our lives, but in our prayer life, that it will motivate you, that it will excite you to go before the Father's throne, where our access is at all times. And so this morning, my goal is to keep us focused. I even gave you some handouts that we'll be going through in a minute, but just to keep us focused on one model of prayer, and that's praying the Scriptures. Now, there are about 650 prayers in the Bible. Don't get nervous. I'm only going over 600 this morning, so we should be 650 prayers in the Bible. I'm not a betting man, but if I if I were, I would be willing to bet that every prayer that we've ever thought about praying, or every prayer that we will pray until Jesus comes or we go to Him, is probably covered in the Scripture. And so what better resource do we have than the Word of God? Today it's just one way. Don't get locked into, Terry said and Cornerstone said we can only pray this way. No, this is just one way. I personally think it's the best way because it works best for me, right? We live in that narcissistic society where what works for me works for you. But this has revolutionized my prayer life throughout the years. It can be that very tool that God can use in our life and does often in my life, that He rekindles that love for Him. And as you watched Matt on the video screen a minute ago, if you were not here last week, he talked through fasting. And he talked about how we share our affections with things of the world, and we share our affections with even things, good things within our life that takes precedence over God being the Lord, the throne, sitting on the throne of our very hearts. And so today, as we look at prayer, we're going to kind of do the addition to that fasting. Because when you think about fasting, I have this image of putting off, right? Many of you left last week and you were excited. You said, you know what, I'm going to go and I'm going to fast. And, you know, you're sitting there on Monday night and you're not watching TV. And it was okay for about 15 minutes and then you're going, oh boy, this fast was good, but man, it's only been 15 minutes. What am I going to do now? Well, we have the privilege today of communicating to you the tool that God can use, and that's prayer. The discipline of prayer that kind of puts in. When we put off through fasting, now God gives us a tool to equip us to receive in. It's kind of like wax off, wax on, right? See, nothing's new under the sun. They didn't come up with that. The principle of fasting and prayer did. And as we lay these idols down, as we lay our affections down that we've surrendered to idols, we lay it down at Jesus' feet and we say, God, let me be done with these. Let me be away. Then He has a way of bringing us, re-engaging our affections, causing us to love Him more. And I think He does that through prayer and through His Word. Now, before we go on any further, let me just throw myself under this prayer is a struggle bus for a minute, okay? Because the last thing I want you to do is to go, that's easy, man. You know, we pay him to pray. He should be praying, or, you know, he don't have anything else to do all week, you know? He should be the one up there preaching on prayer. Well, I wasn't always on staff at a church, okay? So prayers, it's just a struggle in so many of our lives. And I don't want us to leave defeated thinking because of our previous prayer life that this can't be a tool that God uses to bring us into fellowship with Him. In fact, some of you are in different seasons of your life. And I found that for me and in my walk with the Lord almost 30 years, that there have been seasons as I've looked back and I've had more time than other times throughout life. Or, you know, it's not been quite as hectic. The first 12 years after I graduated from high school, I was working secular job and going to school. And some of you caught 12 years going to school. Did you catch that? I was on the 12-year plan. Now I'm on the 20-something plan. But the struggles to pray, the situations, the excuses that I came up with almost 30 years ago, right? Oh, good morning, Lord. Wow, I'm late. I don't have time. You know, I'll catch you later. Or, man, I got so much going on today. I'm interested in so many things, and I know I should be praying, but you know what? I'm focusing here right now. Or then there's the one that I pray more than I should, and that's the or I make the excuse more than I should, and that's the, I don't feel real spiritual today, God. In fact, if I came to you in prayer today, Lord, I think I would be a hypocrite. And I get stuck into this thing where I think I got to earn God's favor to pray. And it just stops me from praying. Now, I just shared a few. Now, I've got a whole arsenal of excuses why not to pray. I hope you won't come to me after and ask me for those. But I use them all the time. But I just wanted to kind of let us breathe and say, the expectation is not here. In fact, as we pray through the scriptures, I'm going to even go as far as saying you don't even need to know much about the Bible. Because the Bible is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and it is alive, and it will come alive as you communicate it back to God. All right? So here's what we're going to do. We're going to woo you in by giving you some reasons on why you should pray the scripture, and then I'm going to walk you through how do we do it. So the first reason why we pray the scriptures, praying the scriptures is talking to God in his own language. Talking to God in his own language. Think about this. Have you ever been in a conversation? I was in one the other day with this molecular physicist. I'm in those a lot, those kind of deep conversations about molecular. Y'all didn't laugh. Y'all think I'm in those conversations? But I actually was in one the other day about DNA, and of course I was lost. Well, the guy I was talking to, he knew everything. I mean, he had every answer. And I'm looking at him, and he says, what are you looking at? I just said, I'm amazed at how much you know about this. And he said, duh, I'm an expert. I am a physicist myself, and I'm an expert. And so when we pray the scriptures, we're praying God's language back to him, because if life is about us in the world, who better that knows about us, who knows us more intimately, more dynamically than God himself who created us, and who knows the plan for the world more than the one that created the plan for the world. And so as we take the scriptures and we allow them, as we read, to come in our heart and we speak them back to God, we're speaking his language. He understands what we're praying. Okay? The second reason why we ought to pray the scriptures is because Jesus did. I'll play the Jesus card here, right? He is our model. Matthew 4, he prayed, it is written, it is written, it is written. Oftentimes you would hear him say, haven't you heard? Don't you know? It's been written. Even on the cross, Psalm 22:1, he says, my God, why have thou forsaken me? Even at the very point of his death, he prays a psalm, Psalm 22. Third reason why we ought to pray the scriptures is because God's word contains his promises, and he binds himself to his promises. This is one of my favorite reasons why. This should cause us to learn to plead the promises of God in our prayer life. D.L. Moody said, tarry at a promise, and God will meet you there. Numbers 23:19 tells us, has God said, and will he not do it? Or has he spoken, and will he not make it good? See, at the age of 90, George Mueller said that he never had an unanswered prayer. Wow. Who's George Mueller? I hang around him more often. Well, George was, in early 1800s, he was known as the most anointed man of prayer around the world. He operated an orphanage in England solely on prayer and faith, without advertising his need or entering into any kind of debt. He cared for more than 2,000 orphans at a single time while supporting mission work throughout the world. Millions of dollars came through his hands unsolicited, and tens of thousands of recorded answered prayers. Listen to his secret. I always pray with an open Bible. Filling my praise and petition with God's word, I pray God's promises, his declarations concerning himself. I pray his names and titles by which he reveals his nature and character. I pray the rights he gave the believer to bold and confident access. When a need arose, I spread them all out before God who hears his children. My heavenly Father will not break his word to his own child. Now we'll come back to the promises in a minute on how we pray, because this is one of my favorite areas of why we should pray the scriptures. But this word contains the promises of God, and he's left it for us. For us to pray anything less would almost be an offense to a holy God. Fourth reason why we ought to pray the word is it builds our faith. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Make this clear now. Faith is not the power. Prayer is not the power. Christ and his spoken word is the power. Our faith is just developed as we get to know Christ and his spoken word. It's no different for an athlete. It's no different for a musician. They have been given these gifts. They've been given these talents. And they know that they must work hard. They know they must train. And they must go through routines of becoming not only familiar with their own gifts and talents, but understanding that they will be required to take steps of faith if they're going to reach their goals. And so God builds our spiritual faith as we pray the scriptures, because our faith muscle needs strengthening. And no better place than it be strengthened in Christ and Christ alone, not of ourselves. The fifth reason we pray the scriptures is that it assures us that we are praying the mind and will of God. This is so important in our day and time. Charles Spurgeon said that our prayers are according to the mind of God when they are according to the word of God. Listen to that. Said that our prayers are according to the mind of God when they are according to the word of God. Have you ever been tempted in your life? Maybe an opportunity's come up and you go, man, this is what I've been waiting on. Or maybe you singles, maybe a spouse, potential spouse is on the horizon, and you're going, God, is this the one? And you know, and then all of a sudden, overnight, right, you hadn't prayed, you hadn't looked at your Bible for a couple of weeks, and then all of a sudden, man, you become Mrs. Theologian, right? You begin to take all these verses and you put them together, and you begin to build this defense for why you think this is the direction you ought to go. And there's nothing necessarily that's wrong with that if it's done through this. But what we tend to do is we tend to put our own application on God's will. We tend to pray prayers, or we agree with others while they're praying, and they're not even praying a theologically correct prayer. But we find ourselves being caught up. And the scriptures remind us that it's God's will that we pray. It's also God's will that he does. Follow that? Now, I'm not saying that every decision you have and you bring before the Lord will be crystal clear. I'm not saying there won't be some gray spots. I'm not saying that you pray for 2 weeks and you got to make a decision tomorrow morning and God just didn't write it in the sky, or it didn't just thunder down in your prayer time. And I'm not saying you won't come to times like that where you have to make a decision. But I will say, through the years, almost 30 years of walking with the Lord, his principles, his underlying principles in his word and biblical truth, verse upon verse, will not lead me away from God's will. It will lead me to God's will. If I violate principles, and this is free, by the way, I'm throwing this one in. If I violate principles along the way of God's word, then I've taken my spiritual walk and I've put it on myself, and I'm choosing to go my way, not God's way. And when we pray the scriptures, we've got to be willing to hear what God says and then be obedient to what God says, because He's not going to allow us to put our will on something we've surrendered. And that's why fasting is such a key with our prayer. Fasting and prayer, it's kind of like singing and worship. It's kind of like evangelism and discipleship. They just go together. Fasting and prayer just goes together. Okay? So the last reason why, and then we'll get into the meat of why we're here. This is on a more practical level. And the reason why we need to pray the word is that it helps us stay focused. I don't know about you, but I am the world's worst at just not being able to focus my mind when I sit. And oftentimes I choose to do mornings. I used to do late at night. And both just seem to mess with my mind. And so just taking the scriptures and using it as a guide that I pray helps me so much to keep my mind focused. So these are several reasons why we should pray the scriptures. And now what I'd like for us to do is just kind of take out your yellow sheets. Everybody got a yellow sheet? Anybody don't have a yellow sheet, raise your hand. Ushers can get them for you, okay? There's some up front. This is our tool today. We're going to use these yellow sheets. Men are excited because they like tools, right? You know, so this is one of these tools, guys, that you can put in your tool belt that you can use at any time, anywhere. And it will be something that, as you walk out of here, my prayer is that it will motivate you to desire to pray more. It won't be some weird ritualistic exercise you do. It won't be one of those check boxes. Hold your hands high if you don't have one. Because I don't have a lot to say apart from this. This is what my goal is, and that is for you to walk out of here with a tool that will help you pray the scriptures or just pray, period. Okay? I'll let the last few get handed out. And I'll just go through those, so follow along with me. And along the way, I may stop and just kind of, if the Spirit of God leads me, I may just stop and pray something, you know, that I'm led to pray. And I'm only doing that because I want you to kind of see how simple and easy it is to pray God's Word. Okay, first model I chose on your front page is the Acts model. Most of you may be familiar with that model. I like it because of a couple of reasons. The first reason is it's simple. Simple minds like simple things. That's me. I'm in the dictionary under simple. The order, I like it too because it has a cool order about it. That order falls into this gaze versus glance kind of deal. Now, come back to that. Here's what I mean. Here's the model: Acts, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. Immediately, what does it do? It engages us at a God level. It says, give your adorations and praise to God. Get your focus to God. Here's the gaze and glance principle, perspective. Gaze at God long enough, and your problems, you'll glance at. Oftentimes in my life, it's the reverse. I go to God gazing at my problem, and what started out to be a problem this big now is enormous. In fact, even the God of the universe can't handle it. But I'm going to use my last ditch, get out a free card. I'm going to go to Him and see if He can answer my prayer. No, I like this model because it begins with, oh, gaze, let's refocus, let's calibrate our vision, our focus on God first. And then as we move through and we confess our sins and we give thanks to God and we realize how much He's blessed us, then we come to intercession. Then we come to the part that most of us like more than any, and that's asking stuff that we get. So that's Acts. Another model is the Lord's Prayer. I won't spend time on this one because Todd spent some time on it a couple weeks ago, and he walked us through praying the Lord's Prayer. It's similar to Acts. You know, our Father in heaven, it starts off by fixing our gaze up to God and off of ourselves, and it walks us through, you know, forgive me of my sins and my transgressions. And then there's a little intercession toward the end. So it's similar to Acts, but it's a great model for you. If you don't know what to pray, if you're going, I know I need to pray, let me just open up to the Lord's Prayer. The disciples didn't know what to pray either. And they didn't know how to pray. Because this prayer came from them asking, Lord, aren't you going to teach us how to pray? You tell us to go pray. Are you going to teach us? And this is the model he taught them. So, good model. Third model. This is one of my favorites. Next two are my two favorites. So, praying the Psalms. Oh, the riches and treasures of the book of Psalms. You can get lost in Psalms all of your days. Because Psalms has a unique way of being human. It brings the human, it drips with humanity. And it calls us in on our journey. It identifies with our struggles. It identifies with the circumstances so often we face in this life. And then it identifies with so many of our human emotions. If you read through any of the Psalms, just grab one. I chose Psalm 23 here just for you guys to have. But when you grab these Psalms, what you hear is these men crying out, Asaph and David and other men. And what they're doing is they're just being real with God. It's not this weird formula. It's not this kind of awkward, you know, am I holding my hands right? Or, you know, am I saying the right words? No, it's bringing God almost into the seat next to you and engaging at heart level with Him. The Psalms may help prayer seem less of a duty and more of an intimate conversation with God. Many of these prayers bear the human soul before God in a way that reaches our deepest feelings. If you read the Psalms, you'll be confronted with fear and anxiety and anger and love, joy. You might even have to deal with, they call them the cursing Psalms. The Psalms where the Psalm writers were just at a point to where God, curse these people, and curse these people. And you go, wow, that's in the Bible? Yeah, it's in the Bible. But the humanness of that is who we are. And that's why Psalms can be so addictive. And so I want to warn you. Here's a general surgeon's warning, okay? Here it is. You start praying the Psalms, I think two things might happen. One is you're going to find yourself taking spiritual risk that you didn't take before. And here's what I mean by that. You're going to become so intimate with the Lord that you're building a trust in Him and His Word. And as you do that, as you're praying back, it has this humanness about it where you go, I can do that. Lord, is that what you wanted me to do? Is that how I need to approach you? Is that how I need to look at my day? And then you're going to be receiving psalm after psalm, telling you, encouraging your heart, reviving your affections toward God that will allow you to take more risk. And then the second thing that it may do if you choose to pray the Psalms is you may end up expressing more passion. For some of you, you need a double dose. You need to never come out of the Psalms. But what the Psalms have done over the 15 or so years that I learned about praying the Psalms, it's given me a passion when I've been passionless. It's given me a picture of reality that even in the challenges of life, whether it's death, like Psalm 23 oftentimes refers to, you know, in the shadow of death, or if it's something where I've been envious of others because they have stuff that I want and God hadn't chosen to give it to me yet. It just, Psalms has such a pleasant way of reminding us of the humanness of who we are and the power of God. So, pray the Psalms. Fourth model. I gave you a couple before I go to the fourth model. I gave you a couple of other Psalms of confession and repentance. If some of you are dealing with sin in your life and you really need to deal with that, these are great Psalms to go through. What you'll hear is you'll hear David saying, "Oh Lord, my bones waxed cold within me. My spirit dried up. But until I came into the house, your house, until I acknowledged you, Lord, my spirit was dry within me. Until I confessed my sin to you and received your forgiveness." Psalm 51, you'll hear David say, "Oh Lord, I have sinned against you and you only. Please, I beg of you, don't take your spirit from me." You get this picture of David and God together, walking along. Psalm 103, casting your care, casting your sin from as far as the east is from the west. Many of you have probably prayed that and didn't even know that's where it came from. Beautiful pictures of prayer, confession, repentance. Psalms of praise. Psalms 145 to 50. If you just want to get in a good mood, if you want to sing, this is all they're doing. They're singing. Many of these songs that we sing on Sunday are psalms back to God, written to song, but they're psalms. Now, next one, pray in the promises. Everybody with me? We okay? We good? Is this helpful? Okay. You going to do? No, I won't go there. Okay, pray in the promises. This is one of my favorites. 2 Peter 1, 3 through 4 says this, "His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of our sinful desire." Now here's what I want you to do. I want you just to kind of take your eyes off the paper and just focus for a minute in the quietness of our time. And I'm going to read over some promises. I want you just to take in the beauty and the power of God's word and his promises. Okay? So just, whether you close your eyes, whatever you do, just listen to some of these. "We become a new creation. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. He is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Thank you, God, that I'm not the old person I used to be. But because of your grace, oh Lord, thank you that I've become new. I'm made new in you. The old things are gone. You've given me new things. I've been chosen. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit. And that fruit should abide so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. Thank you, Lord, that you have chosen me and I've not had to do anything to earn your favor, Lord. But you chose me. And you've allowed me to bear fruit. Fruit enough that I can go to you, Abba Father, at any time, and I can ask anything of you, God, and you hear my prayer." See how simple, see how easy it is to get in the flow of praying God's promises? How about you struggling with perfect peace? "You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you." Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." Lord, thank you that if I keep my mind on you, you promised to give me peace. Lord, I can receive your peace right now because you're not offering me the peace of the world. You're not offering me something that the world has conjured up to take my focus off, but you've given me a peace that the world can't take away and the world can't give to me. Thank you. What about provision? Economically, we've been struggling. I know many of you, because I work with some of you, there's been a lot more month than money for a lot of us, right? Here's a couple of promises that we can pray. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And my God will supply every need of yours according to His riches in Christ Jesus. Lord, thank you that you own it all, that you can provide every need that I have according to your riches in Christ Jesus. The fullness of what I'll ever need, you can provide for me. Thank you. Lord, help me to seek your kingdom first today. Help me not to seek my need first, but help me to seek your kingdom first. Then, Lord, I can depend on you to provide what I need. Isn't this beautiful? Isn't this great that God's promises we can grab hold of and we can embrace, and it even begins to stir our own affections? For those of you who need strength, those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength and shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. One I quote all the time is, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Oh Lord, you have so many opportunities today to show your strength because I am so weak. And in my weaknesses, Lord, may your power be demonstrated through your strength. Here's one of my favorites. God delights in you. You've been struggling lately, wrestling young people with your identity, or been struggling, you know, just with the pressures of world and getting toward the end of school. And, you know, it seems like everybody waits to fill their calendar for the last 2 weeks of May. And so you're just overwhelmed and you kind of forget that God's in this journey with you. Kind of forget that He's there for you. And maybe because of the absence of the check marks and boxes that you've lived your Christian life around, they seem to be a little more blank this month than last month, and you seem to be more distant from God. Listen to these two promises. His delight is not in the strength of the horse, nor is pleasure in the legs of man, but the Lord takes pleasure in those who fear Him and those who hope in His steadfast love. It's my favorite. Zephaniah 3:17. The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by His love. He will exalt over you with loud singing. Are you kidding me? God is singing a song over me. He has written a song and He says He is singing it. He's delighting over me. When I don't please my kids, when I don't please my wife, God is not using the same scorecard. He's saying, I delight in you. I am actually writing a song and I'm singing it over you. Hello, do you hear me? Do you comprehend my promise here? One more and we'll move on. About being faithful to the end. About when we feel like giving up. How about when we feel like we've been tempted? We begin to weigh our options. We begin to have one foot in the door and one foot out. Maybe it's a business deal. Maybe it's we're just kind of at the point of having to really make a solid decision for Christ or a solid decision for ourselves. God gives us a promise. He'll keep us faithful to the end. And I am sure of this, that He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Christ Jesus. He said in Jude 24 and 25, "Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God our Savior through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen." God, there is no way today that I can withstand the temptations that will come my way without your strength, without your power, without your word renewing my vision, keeping my eyes focused on you. And you said, you promised that you would keep me to the end. And I don't feel too spiritual today, Lord, so you got your hands. You got your work cut out for you. You got your hands full. But your promise says that you'll keep me to the end. All right, we good with that? All right, last two and we'll be done. Praying short prayers. This works well in our drive-through society and our quick-to-fix society, right? But there's power in these prayers. Don't neglect the reality that when you pray a verse of Scripture, it is God's Word you're praying. And if you don't have time to get out your Bible or you don't have time to really set aside and be quiet, you're on your way to work, you're driving, or you got five kids around you and they're all wanting to be fed and be changed, and you can take God's Word and hide it in your heart. You can begin to pray these short prayers. Sad to say, the one I pray the most, it seems like, especially when I'm going into meetings or something, is, "Lord, let me be quick to listen and slow to speak. Let me be kind and tender-hearted, loving those who've offended me. Lord, I cast my care on you, Lord, because I know you care for me. Lord, let me fix my eyes on you today. For the joy that was set before you, you despised the shame. You sat down at the right hand of the Father. Lord, let me keep my gaze on you today. Teach me today, Lord, to number my days, that I may have a heart of wisdom. As I walk through my day today, teach me that today could be the day for me. Only you know the number of days in my life. Because you're the giver of life and the taker of life, only you know. And so help me to number, give me a heart of wisdom to know how to live out today for you." See how easy this is? This is good, huh? All right, last one. The prayers of Paul. Paul's prayers tend to give us a view from a cosmic level, right? A lot of what I've been talking to is you engaging with God, with yourself, and I know on the benefit of others in Acts and with the Lord's Prayer, but Paul has a real desire to focus on God and then focus on others. And I think it's so good for us to have so many of Paul's prayers in the Scriptures that can help walk us through what it is we need to be praying for people. Because I know there are material needs that we have, right? I mean, you know, we need paychecks and things like that. So I'm not belittling that at all. But there are spiritual things we need as well. And the value of those spiritual things may not be able to be seen from, you know, the eye of the person you work next to or live next to. But the spiritual value of God's word and his attributes in our life is priceless. So we need to pray that for one another. We need to pray that for our lost family. We need to pray that for our church. And that's exactly what Paul does. He prays for his friends and his family and his church. You can take any of these prayers and you can just insert, I left a blank there, and you can just insert a name. Philippians 1, "I pray that Terry's love abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, that Terry may be able to discern what is best, and that Terry may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ. That Terry will be filled with the fruit of righteousness through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Heavenly Father, I thank you for Sheila. I ask you to give Sheila the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that she may know you more deeply. Please open and enlighten the eyes of Sheila's heart today so that she may know the hope to which you have called her, the riches of your glorious inheritance in the saints, your incomparable great power for them, for her, because she believes in you. Let her see the power of your resurrection. Let her grab hold of the ascension, which you, Lord Jesus, are seated at the right hand of the Father. Fill Sheila with all the fullness of you today, Lord Jesus, in every way. Piece of cake, right? We can do this. And we can do it with power and passion. And we can do it for the glory of God. So as I close, Forrest and the team's going to come and sing a couple of songs. And what they're going to sing is they're going to sing promises. They're going to sing psalms. They're going to sing verses that I probably covered somewhere along the way. And so not only can we pray the word, but we can also sing and pray the word. And so let me close with prayer. Father, would you take the precious gift of your word today and would you ignite our hearts through your spirit and through your word to make us, to form us, to shape us, our affections, our thoughts, our activities, our decision making. Would you align it with your will and your word? And God, as you promised, that you would give us the joy unspeakable and full of glory. That you would not make this a burden upon us, but we could cast our burden on you. And that your yoke is easy and your burden is light. That we can have great joy in knowing and walking and abiding with you. And we can take John 15 and we can say, Lord, because you abide in me, I abide in you. And I will not do anything other than what you tell me, for my delight is in you. Thank you for reminding us this morning that prayer is a conversation with us to a holy, righteous God who loves us and cares about us so crazy. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.